The Lord just gave me an insight and a perspective of looking at this particular passage. The title in my Bible says, "The Woman Who Fears the Lord." In the beginning of this verse, verse 10, it says, "The virtuous woman." So we've got this idea about virtue, or really excellent wife. The verse that I have in the easily spoken version, an excellent wife. So you've got this concept of this woman. And over the years, when I learned this passage, I always kind of heard it preached like Superwoman. This is like the ideal woman that you really need to have, and y'all need to be this Superwoman. But I feel like what the Lord told me is that was never the intent of God. That was just something guys like to preach about. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? How many of you ever heard the saying, guys, you can be the bride of Christ, and women, you could be sons of God? How many of you have heard that? Okay, we are all sons of God. It says all of us, because in Christ there's no male or female. And then we're also the bride of Christ. What I feel like this chapter, this passage is all about is not any one person. It's not about any one person. It is about the bride of Christ. This virtuous woman is the church. It is the church. It is not meant to be for any one person, because no one person could ever live up to it. No one could ever do that. You might get a good day and maybe catch about half of them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all are human. But when you see this from the perspective of the Lord, remember, the Old Testament, you have to see the Old Testament from the New Testament anointing of Jesus on your life. And that's why God has given us the entire Bible to read, but we need to learn to read the scriptures as Christ would read the scriptures. As a matter of fact, after his resurrection, Jesus had to sit there and teach the disciples how to interpret the scriptures concerning all things in the Bible concerning himself. So the question is, where is Jesus in the woman who fears the Lord? In the church. Because the church is his body. The church is his bride. And the church is an excellent wife or a virtuous woman. We are the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Can somebody say amen to that? I am a virtuous woman. And I want you to say it out really good. And guys, don't be embarrassed by that. Do it. Okay, here we go. Ready? I am a virtuous woman. Do it. I am a virtuous woman. And that word excellent or virtuous is more than just like doing everything right. Does virtuous mean that you cook really well? Maybe. You'll find out what this virtuous woman does. But actually, that word virtuous woman is the same. It's the feminine form or a feminine way of saying mighty man. It's really more of a person who is really mighty and powerful and a warrior. It's describing someone who makes a tremendous impact because they're strong. They're mighty. They're capable. They've got power. And no, it's not describing a woman who likes to like wrestle or fight. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you that God wants his people to be mighty. And this expression of a virtuous woman is not just something on the inside. It's something that is in your entire body, and yet you're a warrior. Because when you are strong in the Lord, you take up the whole armor of God, and you stand against every single device of the enemy. You're not going to back out. You're not going to back down. You're not going to turn around. You're going to stand exactly where God has put you, and you're going to be strong because God has given you everything you need, and all you need to do is stand in Jesus. You stand in Jesus. Amen? He's made us strong to stand. Not to run around goofy and crazy, but to take our position. Why? Because he has given us everything in Jesus. So just stand in what he's given you. And there's a mightiness and a strength about this woman, this church. I am a virtuous woman. I am a woman of excellence. I am the body of Christ. Like Kenny referred to it, Ephesians, he says that the husband loves the wife. But then Paul says, I'm speaking of Christ and the church. The wife is his body. He is the head and she's the body. And I'm speaking of Christ and his church. God wants to drill it in our heads that the virtuous woman is the body of Christ and the church. And if we start to find it and see it in the scriptures, then there's going to be some scriptures that are going to come alive to us. And we're going to go, wow, God really thinks about me this way? Okay, what's it like? And actually, Marianne didn't know I was preaching on this, and she was giving a really good anointed exhortation this morning about clothing yourself with praise. Put on the garment of praise. Because what you're going to see in this passage is the majority of what this woman does is make clothing for her children. Make clothing. You'll see it. It's here. An excellent wife, who can find? She's more precious, far more. Everybody say, far more. Precious than jewels. Let me tell you, if you look in the book of Revelation and you read about the holy city in Revelation chapter 21, the holy city, what does God say? He says, I'm going to show you the bride coming down from heaven as like the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And what does it say? It's full of jewels. So the moment you see the word jewels in the scripture like that, what are you going to think? You're going to think the bride of Christ full of glory. Why? Jewels are precious. They're precious. But the bride of Christ is more precious than jewels. So the word jewel is a flag. It says, God says, attention, guys, pay attention. I am talking about the bride of Christ. I'm talking about the bride because the jewel is something that's very precious. You have to mine it or find it one way or the other. It's not common. It's not common. And it's only found in people that are beautifully dressed. But the point is that the precious jewels refer to the value and the uniqueness and the glory. They're beautiful. They're precious. If you saw the coronation of the king, what was the big Conard? Which diamond was in there? Yeah, the Conard diamond. It's like who knows how many millions of dollars it is. It's just humongous diamond, like, you know, this big. So it's associated with royalty. So can you say, everybody, royalty? I am the bride of the king. I am the bride of the Christ. I am not just any old person living down the road. I don't live in a barn. I live in a palace.
Amen.
Amen. I am royalty. Not only is it a sign of wealth and prosperity, it's a sign of royalty and government. That means that you're a part of the governing body of earth. God said to Adam and Eve, he said, rule on this earth. You take care of it. So there's an authority that comes with jewelry. Praise God. Don't go running out now and go to buy in Jesus' name. No, you hear what I'm saying? And it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. I thank God that not only did I have faith in Christ, but before I had faith in Christ, God had faith in me. Well, at least some amen. One amen in this place. Let's try it again. Before I ever had faith in Christ, God had faith in me. He would have never called me if he didn't believe and trust me with his name. as the bride of Christ, I ain't messing around. He can trust me. One of the expressions of the Bible, you wicked and adulterous generation. Who is he talking to? People that are not the bride of Christ. They're too busy playing around. Following after idols and things. That's what it's all about. Glory to God. But by his strength and by his trust and by faith, if it wasn't for him looking at me and saying, John, I'm coming for you. Now, I could have faith in the God that comes for me. I wouldn't have been anywhere near him. I mean, I did what I was told at home. But if God didn't come after me, I wouldn't have followed him. Do you think that everybody just came to Jesus? No, it says Jesus sought these people out. He went down to the Sea of Galilee. He went to the Sea of Galilee. And he said, Peter, follow me. Follow me. The heart of her husband, trust her, and he will have no lack of gain. I just want you to know something. God expects a fruitful harvest from our lives so that when we come at his feet, the Bible says that we're going to cast our crowns down before him. You got something to give the Lord from your life, don't you? You got fruit. And Jesus talked about fruit that abides, fruit that remains, fruit that's not going anywhere, fruit that doesn't spoil. We're going to bring a harvest in for the Lord. We're going to bring a blessing in for the Lord because God trusts us with his name. Isn't that what women do? They take on the name of the hubby. That's the bride of Christ. There's more. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Now, here's what I wanted to talk about some more. She seeks wool and flax. Wool garments, flax is linen, right? So you've got linen and works with willing hands. She seeks wool and flax, works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. And she brings her food or supplies from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. She buys a field. The fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now, come on, you realize this isn't about a one person? But I'm going to show you this. She dresses herself with strength. She dresses herself with strength. Again, the garments. The garments are strength. The armor of God is not physical armor. It is the strength of God in your life that he creates in you. Why? Because he wants you to stand, not move. Standing on the promises. Glory to God. And she considers a field. She dresses herself with strength. Do you see all the dressing aspects of this? Look in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax. She goes and gets her food. There's food. She rises while it's at night and provides food and portions. She considers a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard. There's, you've got a field for wheat and bread, and you've got a vineyard for wine. That is, what are we talking about, guys? We're talking about the communion of the Lord. She is the one who manages, celebrates the communion. What is it about the wool and the flax? We'll see what that's more later. She gets while up at night and provides food for her household. I believe that this thing about getting up while it's night has to do with the church as a whole doing the things at all hours that needs to be done for people. And the most important thing is prayer. Because when you pray, what you're doing is you're gathering the promises of God and harvesting the promises of God so that people will experience what God says in their lives. That's the purpose of prayer. The prayer is harvesting the promises of God, standing, and sometimes you got to get up at nighttime, and God says, get up and pray. Get up and pray. Pray and say, Lord, I want to see a harvest of your word in this situation. I want to see God do something great. She perceives that her merchandise, what is the merchandise of the church? The merchandise of the church is the preaching and the witness and the signs and wonders of the word of God. That's the merchandise. That's what we have. That's the thing of value that we have. And what do? Some people get on ships and go somewhere to take care of merchandise. The Apostle Paul did. Tim's going on a mission trip. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what they do. They go places. Why? To conduct the business of the kingdom. Because we're doing what God wants us to do. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Church does that. Right? She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. Scarlet, red, a beautiful red color. And what they use there is a word that describes the bug that they get the red dye from. That's why they use the word scarlet. So that means you've got something really beautiful for the kids to wear. Everybody in the household wears red. Red is a very cool color. And when I watched the coronation, by the way, it was one of the first things I said, man, there's a whole lot of people wearing red in this group. Okay? Another color that you see in royalty is purple. Lots of purple. Lots of purple, lots of red. Her clothing is her bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Everybody say fine linen. Fine. Revelation says this. The book of Revelation says what? I'm going to give you a scripture. You can read it sometime when you get a chance. Revelation 19:8. It says that the people of God are dressed in fine linen because the fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness. Everybody say righteousness of the saints is my fine linen. And I'm not wearing no junky thing from Walmart. I'm wearing fine linen from the righteousness of the saints. I'm wearing nice clothing. I'm wearing really nice clothing. It's funny. We saw a movie and it was all about, what was that movie? We saw this movie that was all about this one woman who was a cleaning lady. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. I'm telling you, it's a crazy story, but it was about this English woman with a Cockney accent that's a cleaning lady that sees a Christian Dior outfit. This is back in the post-war. She sees this beautiful dress that this lady, one of her rich ladies that she works for in there, she stares at the dress, and you can see her eyes just, you know, light up, and heavenly angels start singing. And she's like, there's no way that she could ever afford the 500 pounds to buy a single dress. So here is this very poor woman. And then she just decides that I'm going to get this one. I'm going to believe. I mean, really, it was an act of faith where she just believed that she's going to get that dress. She's going to get one just like it. And she's going to have it custom made for her. She's going to buy the top of the top of the top of the top. And I'm like, wow, this is all about. What is it? What is it? There's something in people, in the bride of Christ. You want to look good and you want to wear something really nice. And the other thing is you want to wear something that's not just a copy of a copy of a copy. And, you know, in those, when they make those dresses, they make one of them and that's it. And that's it. Either you have it or you don't. But hear what I'm saying? There was this whole, and, you know, I've had this message I've been holding for weeks. But I'm like, here it is again, that same principle of being clothed in fine linen. Everybody say fine linen. Fine. It's the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Paul said, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the bride. This is her job. It's her job to make sure that everybody is clothed in fine linen. Everyone. As a matter of fact, there's another parable that Jesus said. He talked about a wedding feast. And basically, it was this. If you don't have the wedding garment on, you ain't going to the wedding. Am I right? Nowadays, people go to weddings, they just wear anything. They come in cut-off shorts. But I got news for you. The bride doesn't look like that. Right? But in the Bible, Jesus told a parable about someone who would not be clothed for the occasion. And you see, we are the bride of Christ. Come on, say it again. We are. Come on, say it like you mean it. We are the bride of Christ. And I'm going to dress right. Amen. And the linen is the righteousness of God's people. It's the fine acts of righteousness. It's what you do, what you think. Linen, your linen garments, I really believe that the crown, the whole concept of the crown is not so much what's on the outside. It's your thought life. It's the fact that what you're thinking is covered in gold and fine jewels, because it says, your word is more precious to me than gold and silver. Because you've got this richness of your mind and of your spirit and this beauty. You know, when someone loves Jesus, I'm serious about this. When someone loves Jesus and their minds are full of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they look beautiful. They do. You look good. I've seen it. I won't deny it either. I won't just say it. I mean it. God will put a beauty on you because of who you are and what's on the inside. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness on her tongue. This is the church. This is you and me. These are God's people. That when you open your mouth, you've got wisdom. You've got kindness. You're teaching. You're wherever you go. Wherever you go, whoever you speak to, you're speaking words of wisdom and teaching to people in everything that you do, no matter where you are, who you're with, your mind is filled, and you are clothed with the glory of God. You're clothed with it. That's why it's important for us to see the church. She looks the way, well, the ways of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's got purpose. What is the bread that we eat? The bread of kindness? The bread of the word? Jesus says, as oft as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me. That's the bread that God has his church eating. It's not the bread of idleness. I got news for you. Jesus was not idle. He knew how to rest. He knew how to take things in a stride. He knew he wasn't overworked. He wasn't running around crazy. He wasn't pressing and stressed in any way. But on the other hand, he wasn't just sitting around. He had a purpose in his life. And we need to have that kind of life where we're actually got purpose. And the church has this purpose, has this thing. And it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up, verse 28, and call her blessed. Who are the children of the bride of Christ? All the people that God touches through you and me. All these people. We have many children. And they're all done through the promises of God. And her husband also, he praises her. And I feel that the crown that God has for us is the praise of Jesus for us. Well done, where he says, "What isn't that praise? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord." That is the praise of God, where he says, "Well done. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're being blessed. Many women have done excellently. There's that word again. But you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Do you see how the Lord is saying it's not about this? But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Whoa. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. The time to come is the future, right? The time to come. Now remember, faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. That's the future, isn't it? I think perhaps the greatest way to express faith in the future is laughter. That's what it says right here. She laughs at the future. Why? Because she's got faith in things she hasn't seen yet. She laughs at the future. She laughs at the future. Don't let anyone shame you for laughing in the presence of God. Don't let anyone try to stop you from laughing, because the church laughs about the future. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's called the garment of praise, not the garment of sourpuss. I'm just praising God. And it says, a merry heart. A merry heart does good like a what? A healing pill, drink, whatever. It's medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. A broken spirit is a spirit that's not rejoicing. And God has joy. It says, everlasting joy shall be on their heads. Everlasting. Does that mean it's going to stop? Does everlasting mean you get in some days and not, well, I'm just having a bad day? Are there bad days for everlasting joy? Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Where do we need joy, guys? Here and here. Because sometimes God's got to straighten out the goofy in here to put some everlasting joy in there. Because the bride of Christ laughs at the things to come. Why? Because God is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. We have so much joy because Jesus is coming. He is coming. It's not a thing that's coming. Don't put your hopes in things. Put your hopes in Him. Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, we got happy. We got happy. We're going to be happy because we know He is coming. Put your faith in the one who is coming, not always the thing that's coming. So the angel of the Lord comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, Sarah is going to have a child. And Abraham, what did he do? Say it again. No, you really don't mean it. Abraham did what? Was Sarah? We don't know what happened. It was the baby wasn't there yet. But he was rejoicing in the coming one. Abraham laughed when he heard the word of the Lord. And Genesis 18, chapter later, three men come, visit him. What did they say to Abraham? He said, about this time next year, Sarah is going to have a son. What did Sarah do? Laugh. Why? Because of the wonder. The wonder. You mean at my age and his age, we're going to have this joy, 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 happy baby. Baby's coming, we're happy. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. The enemy doesn't like babies. The enemy doesn't like life. The enemy tries to get people sad when babies arrive. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, everlasting joy. Why? Jesus is coming. The promised one. Everybody say, promised one. It's not so much about the person Isaac. It's the fact that he was the child of promise, not the child of the flesh, not the child of man doing things his own way and trying to do it his way and work it out and connive this or figure this out. No, it was the child of promise, and it was the child of promise born by the Spirit, not born of flesh, that God has given us. And that's why we're happy. That's why we have everlasting joy, because our faith is in the one who is coming, the child of promise, and his name is Jesus. And he came, and he's with us, and he's coming still. We never stop enjoying and rejoicing in his coming even after we have an encounter with him. He is our Lord. He came. And it's all over the scripture. It's all over for God's people. We have everlasting joy. We laugh at the future because Jesus is coming. Don't let fear intimidate you like it did Sarah, because she was listening in on the tent and she was laughing. And then when they asked her if she was laughing, she denied it because she was afraid. And what did the Lord say? No, no, you did laugh. Why? I believe he was encouraging her. Say, honey, let that laugh come out. Don't let your messed up mind or fear or intimidation stop you from laughing and having joy in your life. Amen. God wants you joyful. God wants you joyful.